الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه الله اليقين. الحمد لله by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are at the end of the month of Ramadan. And now we have a choice. Either Ramadan to us is a month in the calendar or it is a state. Is the month of Ramadan, is the month that it comes once a year where we actually get ready and repent and go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for forgiveness, recite the Quran and do the fasting, or Ramadan is a state of mind and a state of soul that it will live with us. So the end of the month of Ramadan is a beginning of a state that we're going to live in. The bottom line of the month of Ramadan is what? Is that you learn how to say no. Your major problem in life is that we don't know when and how to say no. And last khutbah I gave, I said we all want Allah to be happy with us. And also, our needs, our own desire, make us disobey Allah. And part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy that He gave us the month of Ramadan, where we can control our own desires instead of the desires control us. And based on that, we learn to say no. If you learn to say no to the halal, it's going to be very easy to say no to the haram. It's going to be very easy to say no to the forbiddens. If you can say no to the lawful, you can say no to the forbiddens. There are few things that also we have to prepare ourselves by, so we can inshallah have a Ramadan to the rest of the year. It is not only the month, but it is the state that we're going to live in it. The first thing that we need is to understand and to go for tawbah, repentance. You need to understand one thing. The shaitan, walayhazu billah, it went out of Allah's mercy by how many mistakes? How many mistakes did the shaitan did? One mistake. One act of disobedience take the shaitan out of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mercy. How many mistakes you and I do every single day? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ إِنْ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا مِنْ قَرِيبٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala committed himself out of his kindness to accept the tawbah that the one who will do what? One mistake. If he repent and he does not wait and correct the mistake that he or she did. So, to be in the right path, it is not only good that you do, but that you have to stop doing things and you have to do things. So you cannot, we cannot have and. I cannot do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It cannot work. Can you imagine that you are for a certain formula for a medication, you are taking a little bit of here and a little bit of what you want, not what the doctor described to you. What you're going to end up with? Maybe you're going to end up with more damage and more sickness and more trouble, more than even you started with. So in the tawbah, part of it is that you need to understand that you are replacing. Your job is to replace. But we need to first of all to understand what is the meaning of the word tawbah. Repentance That means returning back to the right course of action. The word repent, that means went back. Return back. And in religion, return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our job in life is not to do the good deed. And is not to stop the bad deed. But our job in life is to do both at the same time. Our job is to do the good deed and stop the bad deed at the same time. And you know what is that called? It's called the purification. And the purification, it means you are replacing something that you don't want by something you want. Something that Allah doesn't want by something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. And that's called the purification. At-tahara. For you to repent and to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are a certain requirement you have to meet. Number one, you have to admit the mistake. And you have to admit that it is a mistake. Because if you will never admit the mistake, and you will never admit that the mistake is a mistake, you will never be able to correct it. Because you don't have a desire to correct it. No one will spend the time and effort to correct something that is already working. But how we will know what is wrong and what is right? And here where you know, you have to know what is lawful and what is forbidden. Is stealing right or wrong? Somebody say it is a business. Somebody justify it. Somebody can justify any kind of behavior you have. How you will know that it is right or wrong? You go back to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. And from there, once you do it, or you fold in it undeliberately, you admit it. You don't argue about it. Because once you start to argue about it, you will start to justify it. And once you start to justify it, you will accept it. And you will be ready to do it again, and again, and again. And once you start to do it again and again and again, there is no problem here. And you get used to it, and you end up right turn out to be wrong, and wrong turn out to be right. So the first step in Tawbah, the first step in Tawbah is for you to admit the mistake. The second step in Tawbah is you feel sorry for it. Some people admit the Tawbah, but they are bragging about it. They are bragging. They are proud of it. If it is having a relationship with the opposite sex, or you are having whatever that is, people sometimes brag. They feel proud that they are doing it. So they admit the mistake, but they didn't feel sorry for it. They don't feel sorry for it. And once you don't feel sorry for it, you will keep on going, doing it. So the second requirement for the Tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you feel sorry for it. The third is that you correct what you did wrong. If you take something from somebody, return it back. If you've been unfair with somebody, return it back, or be fair with it, make it up, be honest. Get it out of your chest, get it out of your conscience, get it out of your account. And number four, you ask the people that you've been unfair to forgive you. And you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. Once you have those five conditions, inshallah you will have a tawbah. So a tawbah is not something that you're going to say, I'm not going to do. Or you get emotionally involved one time and two times and you say, and you don't do it. And after that you find yourself going right back again to do it. Because now you in the month of Ramadan. Give yourself the evidence that you can do it. And remember, in Ramadan you said no to the lawful. And definitely you can say no to the forbiddings. You said no to the food which is lawful, halal, to the water which is halal, to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it halal for you in relationship with your spouse. All of these you said no to it, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you need to keep on going, inshaAllah, with that. There are signs. One of the things, when you communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shakur, kareem, generous, latif. When you communicate, be sure there is a response going to happen. When you say to somebody, assalamu alaikum, it is Allah teaching us, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُمْ بِتَحَيَّةٍ فَرُدُّوهَا أَوْ رُدُّوا بِأَحْسَنِ مِنْهَا. If somebody greets you, greet him by the same level or even better. How about if you greet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is he going to return? If you are going to make a tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond? But who will receive the message back? Who will receive the message back? If it is a genuine tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your heart will know it. Because the acceptance of Allah will come right directly to your heart. So all you need to do is to keep the radio station in your heart on the right wave, on the right channel. So he can receive the message coming back from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will feel it. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهِ. And who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repent and come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happened? يَهْدِي قَلْبَهِ. Put his heart in peace and in tranquility. So your heart will know if it is accepted. Another major signs when it comes for tawbah, that you will find yourself automatically love to pray. Prayer is obligation. And in a lot of cases, we do it out of obligation. It comes sometimes to be a routine, merely routine in our life. But if it is sincere, and we still, you are speaking and communicating with Allah, and we already now agree, every time you communicate with Allah, there is a response. Don't ever think that you are just speaking one direction. No, it is one two-way direction. If you speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the prayer, Allah will respond to that. And you will find a peace and tranquility and a sweetness in it that you will be looking for the prayer. Before you looked at it as obligation. In the beginning it was routine. Now I gotta do what I have to do, what I gotta do. But now you enjoy it. You find yourself waiting for it. And the more you enjoy it, the more you are sincere, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pour, and the more bitter that you feel. Till Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what? جُعِلَ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. Qurratul Ayn, the best thing that ever I have is when I stand up to pray. So going into the prayer is one of the signs of the Allah acceptance to your tawbah, inshaAllah. The second, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِن تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ. The second sign of accepting the tawbah, that every time that you remember that sin or that type of sin, you hate it. and you hate to go back again. Some people, they think that they repent, but because they are not able to do it, like somebody was in alcohol, or womanizing, or doing whatever. And he said, I don't drink anymore, and I do this and I do that anymore. Why? I just have a liver problem. I have a blood pressure problem. That means if you don't have those problems, what would happen? You are cheating yourself. Because you are not capable to do it. So you are now trying to find another alternative of doing it, or another alternative to stay away. No. A tawbah that you are walking away when you are able to do. And not only that, but you hate to go back. You hate to do it again. You hate to remember it. And when you remember it, you find yourself automatically asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. You find yourself automatically when you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enjoying the act of obedience. Obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a lot of cases, you think that, we think, or some people think, that it is a liability, it is obligation. But we completely forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ghaliyun anil alameen. Your obedience will not going to do him any good. And your disobedience will not going to do him any harm. Either way, you are the beneficiary or you are the one who going to get harm. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribe anything for you, He is doing it for your own good, not for His own good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا يَرِيدُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَجْعَلْ عَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ ولكن يريد أن يطهركم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to burden you, but He want to purify you. In another, يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. Allah want to make this life easier for you. And who will know what's easier for you better than you, than the one who created you? ألا يعلم من خلق وهو اللطيف الخبير. Who will know you better than you? Do you think the father or the mother that it takes his child to the hospital or to the doctor to get an immune shot against polio or against one of those diseases, and knows that that child will be sluggish for a couple of days and will have a fever and will be nagging and will be crying and he will be hurt when he gets the needle? Do you think this father or the mother, they want to hurt the child? They are taking him to hurt him, or they are doing the best for him? How about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who taught your mother how to love you, who taught your father how to protect you? How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feel about you? If that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His love and out of His mercy to you, is giving you this, and pouring that love and that affection and that feeling in your parents' heart toward you. So what He has for you. You find yourself also, before you know it, enjoying zikrillah. There is a lot of people, and I hope inshallah I will be among them and you will be among them. Is these people, when they speak, automatically out of the blue sky you hear them say Subhanallah or Alhamdulillah or La ilaha illallah. They are in constant state of zikrillah. Their soul is tied up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It even has the area of conscious. I hope inshallah we will be among them. But it happened one time in front of me, I found out somebody tripped on the stairs and fell down. And that's a situation where everybody is in a horror. And the only, Allah is my witness, the only word that I heard out of that person, it was Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. The food swallowed from the... But that what will worry him, that what he was after, or what his soul was worried about, he was not worried about what happened to his leg, but he was worried about Subhanallah. I would came out to, automatically, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Constant state of zikrillah. There is a start to feel by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, start to feel by Allah love. The worst crime that you can commit, no, okay, let us agree to a certain principle. No one being created by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala can harm you more than you. And no one can benefit you more than you. Don't say that enemy can hurt me. No. If you go to the reality, you may be the worst enemy to yourself. You committing the biggest crime that you can commit against yourself when you deprive yourself by yourself and you take it away from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mercy. You are hurting yourself. You are taking it away from zikrillah. Ala bi zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. You are taking it away from the tranquility, from the peace of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, from the generosity of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to Allah anger. All of these things, it can lead, and inshaAllah they are signs for accepted tawbah. But a tawbah is like the heart, and the heart to change. And we need to maintain and we keep the tawbah. How we can maintain the tawbah? Number one, have a clear definition, who is your enemy? Who is your enemy? Okay, unfortunately the way we define our enemy is anyone can have a conflict with my interest or threat my idea about myself. If you threat my interest, you are my enemy. If you threat my idea about myself, you are my enemy. But what is a reality? The reality of enemy is anyone take you away from Allah's mercy. Even that one can be you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَمْ أَعْهَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي آدَمْ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا الشَّيْطَانِ وَأَنَا عَبُدُونِي هَذَا صِرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ إِنْ أَذَرْ عَنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ And in others, إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا Who is your enemy? Whatever take you away from Allah's mercy is your enemy. Who is that can be? Can be you. Can be your friend. Can be your habit. Can be a person. Can be an idea. Can be any behavior you do. But you have to think, and month of Ramadan is the excellent period for it. And you already learned how to say no. Say no to your enemy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, what? Inna kayda shaytani kana da'ifa. Shaytan cannot do anything to you because it is weak when you are sincere. And we all know how the shaytan work. Number one, وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ Whisper. Number two, if it comes to your heart and accept it, you act upon it and you commit the sin. But if your heart say no, there is no sin will be done. So shaitan can do whatever they can do. And if shaitan subhanallah, he said, لَأَغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, I will turn them all. But there is one category I know from the beginning that I'm not going to be able to handle. One category of your ibad, I know that I'm not going to handle. إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ الْمُخْلَصِينَ, except the sincere one. These are the ones that I cannot handle. I don't know how to get into them. And the shaitan said here, عِبَادَكَ الْمُخْلَصِينَ, المخلصين. And there is a big difference between عَبْد and عِبَاد. We all, we like it or we hate it, we admit it or not, عَبِيد. We all abid. Abid, that means we are a slave under the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala control. You live and die according to His will, not your will. Anything happen according to His will, to your will, His will, not your will. But ibad is different. Ibad is the one who said when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the opportunity, he said no. Ya Allah, I am coming to you giving you myself. Inna Allah ishtara min alladhina amanu anfusahum. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya Rabbi. Wa'ibadur Rahman, la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. They sold themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, I don't have any prerogative anymore. What please Allah, I will do it. What Allah is doesn't want me to do, I'm not going to do it. Is it expensive? Why not? Why not? I can do it. And what can motivate you to do it is what? Love. And sincerity in that love. What makes the mother stand up in the middle of the night, comfort her baby? It's not love, but the sincerity in love. Because you have the father. The father also wake up in the middle of the night with the baby crying. But what he say? He's angry. Say, take your kid out. I need to sleep. Does that mean he hate the kid? He doesn't. But the mother is more sincere in her love. That's all into it. The mother is more sincere. She waked up and she is asleep like exactly the same, and we all, none of us like anybody to wake us when we are asleep. And instead of shove him or shut him or whatever, keep hitting him and trying to put him, maybe one of the needs is to play. Or she wants to play, the baby wants us to play, and to keep with him till she falls asleep and go back. Is that love? No, that's the sincerity in love. The father love. Anybody can touch that kid, he's gonna kill him. He run day and night outside to see that baby smile. That's love. But not as much as sincerity in love. So what you really want here, to be promoted from Abid al-Rahman to Ibad al-Rahman, the love and the sincerity on that love. Sincerity on the love. And what is the word لبيك اللهم لبيك مين لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك مين إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك مين. It means Ya Allah, I love you. I am coming back to you with utmost sincerity that I can have. That's basically what it means. لبيك اللهم لبيك. So the first thing, know your enemy. Know he's taking you from the hug, the holy hug, the holy mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't allow that to happen to you. Don't allow the shaitan take you away. And don't let the shaitan waste your life and make you lose the most valuable thing in it. Second, never ever, please listen to me, never ever do what you think it is right. Don't do that. Only do what you know it is right. There is a big difference in between. What I think it is right is not only different from one person to another, but people all the time justify the wrongdoing. And right turn out to be wrong, and wrong turn out to be right. But when you know it is right, that means you know it from the Quran and you know it from the Sunnah. This is right. You stand by it and you do it. If the mountain moved, you don't. And let me give you a quick example to that. I know the time is running. Just so to know the difference between what you think it is right and what you know it is right. What is more important among the rituals, the five rituals in Islam? The prayer or fasting? And the whole entire Sharia, starting from A till Z, there is only two incidents in them, they don't have any exceptions. Anything else you think about, it got exception. Fasting got exception, got a license. You can break. Al-Hajj man istata'a ilayhi sabila. Al-Zakah, the same thing. In a whole, even qawaid al-Sharia, there are al-mahzurat to be, so on and on and on, except two. Only two. Number one, the prayer. Number two, adultery. No exception. And no permissions. Only these two. If you cannot have a wudu, make tayammum. If you cannot stand up, sit down. If you cannot sit down, lay on your back. If you can, lay on your side. If you can't, on your back. If you can't, by your lips and your brows, your eye. If you can't, you can imagine that. Do it by your soul. But no exception. No exception. When we come to the sister in their normal monthly period, they are stopping from reading the Quran, fasting and prayer. When we come for makeup after they finish, what has the priority that's supposed to make up? They're supposed to make up for the prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said no. You make up for the fasting and I'm exempting the prayer. You don't have to make up for the days that you missed on the prayer, but you have to make up for the days that you missed of fasting. Even if the fasting lower priority. If we're going to use our mind on what we think it is right, what are we going to make up for? The prayer. Not fasting. For the adultery crime, which one is more dangerous to the society and to everybody and more sincere? Killing or adultery? Surely killing. Killing. In killing, all you need one bona fide witness, or a maximum two under certain circumstances, to establish the case. In adultery, you have to have four. You have to have four. Four witnesses see the involved in the act. If you're going to use what you think it is right, who are you going to need to establish the case? Killing or adultery? Definitely I will need the four to establish the killing, not the adultery. But what is right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it, establish it in four with the adultery and in less in the killing. So you never know. You never do what you think it is right. All the time do what you know it is right. Seek knowledge. Seek knowledge. Imagine that you are walking in the dark without direction. And everything you learn, it lighting up in front of you few steps. At least it is not going to tell you what to do, when I tell you what not to do. And you don't have to be a scholar. One of the questions that puzzled me all my life, till by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grace I found out the answer to, how the Sahaba reached the level that they had, how they came about the level that they came about, and their iman, it was strong enough to generate that kind of action that they did. And beyond the shadow of a doubt, a great deal of them died before writing the Sunnah and even the completion of the revelation of the Quran. That means we cannot say, I am a Muslim till I read the whole Quran and I know the whole entire Sunnah at least one time. These people died before it, and they made history. What was the key? The key, it was very simple. Whatever little bit they learn, you can see it next day in the street. So it is not important how much you know. More important is what you do with what you know. You know it and I know it. We sit down and gathering and keep talking about Quran and talking about Sunnah and talking about, and you find out as if you are sitting in a meeting, everybody in it gonna fly. And when the people walk out, all kind of corruption, the same people doing. As if this is one person and you step outside the masjid or step side out of wherever you are in, you are a complete different one. يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم وما يشعرون. They don't even feel it, that they are deceiving themselves. Whatever they know, you can see it next day in the street. To the point it came in Medina, أهل الكتاب والمنافقين will know. There is a revelation happened to Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the night before from the behavior of the Muslim next day. That's what we need. We don't need knowledge, but we need a practical knowledge. We need the little bit that we know is to put it in action. And when we put it in action, we put it in action because we love Allah and we are sincere in that love. And listen. Listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. If you have the taqwa and you have that feeling and you are doing this, Allah takes the responsibility to teach you, to guide you. He said, you come to me, I'm going to show you the right direction. I'm going to refine your behavior. I'm going to put you on the right track. You need some push, I'm going to give you the push. As long as you're coming to me, you are my guest and you are my servant. And you are claiming that you love me, I love you too. I want to say two things, and not to make the khutbah longer. In the Holy Quran, there are two words to please pay attention to. Number one is the one about fawz. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. They are the winners. And another one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Is there any difference in between? Yes. There is a huge big difference in between. The first one, الفائزون, usually it is a description between believer and not, or wrongdoer or not. And when you see even somebody winning a contest, that means you can have more than one person, and out of this contest, what's going to happen? Only one going to win, and what's going to happen to the rest? Lose. So among them we have what? Winners and losers. And this is, we use the word fa'iz, or winner. But when we come to the word the muflihun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said no. There is no fawzi here. Anyone get in will win. It's like the falah. Muflihun, it comes from the word falah, farmer. Anyone will put the seed will see the fruit. There is no losers there. You cannot lose with the muflihun. When you seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Fatiha by saying إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, immediately he answered you by what? أَلِفْ لَامْ مِيمْ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and we ended up with what? وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. He did not say وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. Whomever will use it, I am promising, let that person to see the fruit. So do learn as much as you can and apply as much as you can, and this is the right way inshallah to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to get to Allah acceptance, so you can be inshallah the winner in this life and the winner in the hereafter. Let us seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness and guidance and blessing, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us mercy and give us the wisdom and the courage to study the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and apply him in our life, so we can live in peace and we can die in peace, and in the hereafter we will be in peace and will be among the companions of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله, وأشهد أنه قد بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى آتاه الله اليقين. What is the ultimate goal? What is the final? Allah, out of His mercy, is giving you the month of Ramadan so you can gain control and come back to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Ya ayyatuha nafsu mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah, wadkhuli fi ibadi, ibadi not abidi, wadkhuli jannati. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. You are His guest. And He is out of generosity what He wants. He wants you when you leave to be happy. يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةُ اِرْجِعِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً. He wants you to leave happy. He doesn't want to strain you. He wants you to leave happy. But what is the result of your happiness? Imagine for a second
What is your value? I'm not going to say comparing Walayazu Billah to him, but what is your value to his creature? Who you or who me? And if you are happy or not happy, what does that mean? Nothing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying what? If you are happy with me, I am happy with you. Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. If you are pleased with me, I am pleased with you. What more you can ask for? I don't have any answer. There is nothing. There is no answer. There is no answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's generosity. You can love somebody, but that body does not pay attention to you, or reject you, or say, excuse me, I don't like to socialize with you. But look at the Lord of the universe, when he's saying, if you are pleased with me, I am pleased with you. And after that we go and disobey him. Let us seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him to grant us mercy and make us among the companions of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. Wa aqim as-salah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Hayya ala as-salah. حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله استقيموا رحمكم الله
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إنما العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
to the needy people. May Allah accept our personal prayer. Jazakumullah khair.